So good morning, happy Friday, and welcome to Express Route Fridays with the Cloud and Enterprise Black Belts. So this session is for customers and partners to help plan your connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud. This is Ron Abalera. I'm your host for Express Route Fridays. I'm an Azure Black Belt focusing on some advanced workloads ranging from big data networking. And joining me today is my standard crew. Is Kevin Lopez, Jamie Smithke, and Kevin Sullivan. So we'll all be monitoring the IAM windows also if you have any questions. Before we get started, a couple of house rules. This is a public call, so welcome everybody. Because this is public, this is only going to be public information. So if you do have an NDA with Microsoft and you do have specific questions that are NDA specific, feel free to ping us and we can answer those questions offline. For those who joined the Sky Bridge, you see an IAM window on the bottom left. So we'll be monitoring that throughout the call. So if you do have any questions while we get through the content, you'll feel free to ask your questions there. These sessions are recorded. So that way, if someone did ask a question, you can see what that answer was at a later time if you have a colleague that wasn't able to attend today. And we'll post the recording and all the material, the PowerPoint deck, the recordings, and if there's any sample code, we'll post it on that link that you see there, which is whackwhack.ms, whack Express Route Fridays. We should be uploading the content from today's session later this afternoon, so feel free to check out that link. And you can also see some old videos and content as well from that link. All right. So we got an action-packed agenda for today. So this is all based on some of the good input that we've gotten from our customers and partners over time. So we'll talk about some of what those updates are, and then also go from 0 to 60 as we typically do for all those new folks joining and wanting to get started with ExpressRoute. We'll also focus on several deep dive topics of the week. We will talk about Azure IaaS, the private peer, in greater depth. We'll talk about some of the coexistence with ExpressRoute with VPN, whether it's site-to-site or point-to-site VPN. Then we'll pivot to the PaaS workloads on the Azure public peer, differences between the standard premium circuits, and also announcing BGP communities that just came out. And also talk about some design considerations through the public IPs for platform of services. And thankfully, today we have one of our wonderful ExpressRoute partners. So joining us today is David from Equinix, so one of our global partners there. And as always, we have a few minutes at the very end for open Q&A. So I'll unmute the audience, and you can get off of mute and ask your questions verbally, especially for those who are dialed in and don't have access to the IAM window. Feel free to ask your questions then. All right, let's get to it. We got a lot of things to go through. So from Express Route Friday's update, feedback is super important. So we want to make sure that these sessions are valuable for your time and impactful for what you actually want to get accomplished. So we did take a survey several weeks back as far as how you thought Express Route Fridays has been going. We've been doing this for over 9 months now, so we've had a lot of content presented over time. But the season is winding down, so we wanted to capture what was most important on people's minds. And by far, what people were asking for was about more specific workload guidance, around IaaS, PaaS, Office 365, et cetera. A little bit on just some of the new stuff for the folks who are just learning about ExpressRoute for the first time. But essentially, we listened to your feedback. So over the past few sessions, we've gotten a lot deeper on many of those topics. So in our April session, we talked about securing your IaaS workloads with network security groups, user-defined routes, et cetera. Then we had Paul Andrew on May 6th talk about Office 365 in great detail, and that was one of our more popular sessions, so there was a ton of great information there. Then we pivoted back to our Azure workloads, talking about IaaS in depth. Right, and securing VNet some more with some design patterns. And then today we'll talk about continuation of IaaS and then PaaS in greater depth. Okay, but there are also other sessions in the past, and feel free to take a look at some of those videos. We've talked about other workloads such as business continuity, disaster recovery, with our friend Kevin, talking about that in relation to ASR. We've talked about other things such as NAT requirements or migration. So there's been a ton of great content, so feel free to take a look at those links. There's been, a number of really deep topics that were designed for a very specific session. So unfortunately, we can't cram this all in 60 minutes, but we do our best. But we thank you for attending these sessions, and feel free to take a look at some of those older videos. All right. So just a quick reminder as well. We mentioned previously that ExpressRoute Fridays is going on hiatus. It's summertime, and some folks are going to be on vacation. So this session is going to be the second to last ExpressRoute Fridays. So the next session in 2 weeks, June 17th, will be the last one before we go on break. We have yet to figure out which day to actually start ExpressRoute Fridays back up in the fall. That's if we decide to restart it. So that's why your feedback is important. If you still feel like this is important for you in your design and planning process, please let us know. We'll figure out our best timing for restarting the show. All right, so going back to starting from 0 to 60, pun intended, considering the picture below. So this is my standard internet versus ExpressRoute analogy. This is actually a real highway that's in Houston, Texas, where I live, where this is I-10. So the internet's kind of like that left-hand side of the picture right there, where it's like the freeway. It's free. Both the internet and ExpressRoute will get you from point A to B. But depending on the time of day, depending on how many people are using the internet, the traffic could be congested or it could be fine. You never know what to expect. So the experience is going to be less predictable. Where ExpressRoute is that tollway that's on the right. So that traffic is probably going 4 or 5 times faster than the bumper-to-bumper traffic that's on the left. So the drive is more predictable. You do have to pay extra because it is a tollway. But sometimes it's definitely worth it with the unknown variables of the internet, with possibly things going down, etc. So the good thing is that ExpressRoute does have an uptime SLA. The internet does not, and the customers get to choose the bandwidth. So these two are very unique to ExpressRoute. Some of our competitor offerings may offer something similar, but they don't offer an uptime SLA. So that's something that's really important for customers putting production workloads in the cloud. All right, so in a nutshell, what is ExpressRoute? So it is that private connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud. If you are using Azure or Office 365 and those SaaS workloads today and don't have ExpressRoute, well, whether you like it or not, you are traversing that traffic over the internet. Some of that traffic may be encrypted, which is great, but you still never know about the underlying transport and maybe who's using all that bandwidth and watching all those YouTube videos and cat videos and whatnot. So ExpressRoute is that private, dedicated connection. So your traffic will go privately apart from the internet. But those are for the workloads that are supported, which we've talked about in the past. There are some workloads that are still not supported on ExpressRoute, but the vast majority are. So just be aware that a connectivity with ExpressRoute does get you from your WAN network to the Microsoft Cloud. And what does that look like? So essentially, ExpressRoute is an onboard to the Microsoft Dark Fiber network, and Microsoft has one of the larger networks out there in the world. So essentially, this gives you an on-ramp to any of the different cloud platforms that we have, whether that's software as a service, whether that's platform as a service, or infrastructure as a service. ExpressRoute really is that on-ramp. So there is a requirement to have a supported partner, because that's the partner edge that you see in that picture. Behind the scenes, even though we call it a single ExpressRoute circuit, you actually are getting two circuits behind the scenes. These are two physical links, a primary and a secondary. So by design, it's already got high availability built in, and then you on-ramp to the Microsoft network from there. You can pick out of the three workloads, so it's not a requirement that you use all three. You can pick one out of three or a combination, but it is really up for you as a customer to determine which workloads you want to onboard with ExpressRoute. All right, so just a quick price summary as far as what are listed as far as list prices. There's a few things that you choose, besides which connectivity partner that you want to go with. And we have Equinix representing us today. So as far as what you're able to choose, you pick the bandwidth, and that could be as small as 50 meg up to 10 gig. That's really based on your budget as well as what your workload requires. Then you also get to pick between a metered plan and an unlimited plan. So basically, ingress, data that's going into the cloud, we don't really meter. So that there's no additional cost for that. It's only when the data leaves the circuit, that's what we call egress, and that's where the meter starts applying. For most Azure workloads, customers are typically uploading a lot of data and only getting a subset back, so you may be fine just with metered connections. With some other workloads, especially around this, software as a service type of workloads like Office 365 and others, where there may be more data leaving the cloud and back to your premises, that may be an area that you consider using an unlimited Express Route circuit. So obviously, it's going to be a little bit more costly. Essentially, you are building the egress price into that, and that way you have a fixed monthly bill. But there's something to be aware of as far as picking and choosing between a metered and an unlimited plan. All right, so we also have this concept of a premium SKU, and I'll talk about a little bit of some of the benefits of that here in a little bit. But the premium SKU gives you some added benefits on top of a standard circuit. Because of those added benefits, it obviously does cost a little bit more as well. The global backhauling feature is one of the more popular features, and I'll show you how that works. But essentially, it also still depends if you're doing a metered or unlimited data plan. So just take a look at that, and just be aware that the meter only applies when the data leaves the Microsoft network back through your connectivity provider. And that's what we're metering. And it is by the gigabytes per month. So if you don't egress a whole lot of data, then a metered plan may be fine. Just consider that if you're expecting to transfer a lot of data from the cloud back to your on-premises network. All right, so we've got a huge detailed workflow online and really in-depth documentation, and there's pages and pages, so it's really good information. From a snapshot perspective, if you want to get started on how to actually do an end-to-end connection, there is a lot of planning and prerequisites to get through it. It's basically a networking project. But from a workflow perspective, ExpressRoute is an Azure service, so it does require an Azure subscription. And then there's also a list of prerequisites that you have to plan for depending on the workload. Some are easier than others. Obviously, introducing a partner into that mix also means that there's going to be some partner activities as well. Hopefully, the contracts are already in place, but if not, it's one of the things that you want to plan for. Then go ahead and install, PowerShell or set up basically the APIs to be able to manage and maintain the implementation of ExpressRoute in your subscription. You can create it, and then the ExpressRoute connectivity partner provisions the connection. Then you enable the workloads. So even if you provisioned a circuit, only until you get to the very, very end will you actually get traffic flowing, because as I mentioned, you get to pick and choose which workloads that you want to enable. So you can have a circuit that has no traffic flowing across it. So obviously you want to make sure you plan for those specific workloads to use the circuit. All right, so I took a few screenshots of basically how you get started. Part of that workflow is getting to a service key. That's what uniquely identifies your circuit, and that's what your connectivity provider will require to complete their side of the setup. But to get to the service key, it's very easy now in the Azure portal, where you just log in, choose ExpressRoute. There's a few fields that you have to fill in, which are donated, or excuse me, notated by the red asterisk there. So if you are able to gather that piece of information, then you can create the circuit and get to the service key. Once again, this does not mean that traffic will start flowing. It's just that you'll get this vital piece of information that uniquely identifies your circuit. That's what the partner will need moving forward. All right, so as far as what those required pieces of information that you need, so I've made a cheat sheet. So all the highlighted in yellow items are things that you will need to gather to help make this process more streamlined. It's everything from choosing the bandwidth, choosing the peering location, obviously choosing the partner of choice, and then workload specific requirements. For IaaS, you obviously need to create a gateway. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, but it really just depends on which workload that you want to spin up. And there's a full list of those prerequisites and all those requirements online. So feel free to take a look at that. All right, so it is also vital that you work closely with your connectivity partner. So we've got a few of those listed here. These aren't all of them, but this is just kind of a snapshot of some of the major ones that we've worked with over time. So it could be a connectivity partner, it could be an SI partner who helps you actually with the project and gives you some hands-on implementation help. We've also had some network virtual appliance partners present here before, from Riverbed to Barracuda. So it's really important that you work with these partners, especially with the carrier partners, because it's, when it comes to a networking project, you have a lot of folks that are going to be needed to be able to get you to a successful implementation. In this case, it's actually good to have a few cooks in the kitchen instead of just one. So the most successful engagements that we've had are the ones that have active engagement from both, the customer with the carrier, the connectivity partner, and Microsoft. So I know there's a lot of documentation online, and being able to plan what that project would look like, and all the guidance that's involved, especially around the workloads. It's easy to get lost in the weeds with all the information out there. So what we've done as a Black Belt team is we've compiled a checklist of guidance, so things to consider along the way, especially around, how do you test a circuit? How do you think about different things for your workloads? Maybe some specific guidance for, for VNet security and that sort of thing. So we have a PDF of those links that are available here. This is the same link that I mentioned earlier, but you can grab that. It is a living document, so we do update it over time. So if you check back in a month, there may be some additional pieces of information. There's quite a lot of updates that are going through right now as far as documentation. So feel free to get a copy of this PDF and take a look at that guidance, especially if you're in the midst of trying to plan your ExpressRoute project today. All right, so let's pivot to some of the deeper topics. We focused on infrastructure as a service and VNets the last ExpressRoute Fridays. We didn't quite have enough time to talk about everything. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about is the coexistence with VPN. So essentially, even though you have this private tunnel using the Microsoft backbone, there are still customers that have unique scenarios that still need to use site-to-site tunnels and point-to-site tunnels. So good news is, from an infrastructure as a service perspective, when you have connectivity, the connection to that virtual network essentially goes through a gateway subnet. So you may see that referenced in our documentation, and that's sort of really like the drawbridge into the castle. And that's really how the traffic flows in and out of that network privately. And that gateway subnet is pretty powerful because it does allow not only ExpressRoute but VPN. If you want it to coexist, you can absolutely do that today. So this is available both in the ASM, the classic model, as well as the new ARM, the resource manager model as well. So if you do have an ExpressRoute circuit, but you have maybe some branch offices, for example, this is pretty common if customers that have a WAN, right, that connects multiple facilities together, but you may have some branch offices that is too expensive to add on to that WAN. Maybe they only have a T1 at the most, and then that T1 just doesn't have enough bandwidth to support other workloads. So they have a DSL modem or a cable modem that actually has better bandwidth to the internet. So you can actually set up an IPsec site-to-site tunnel, an encrypted tunnel over the internet, and still have access to that virtual network this way, even though it's already connected to your WAN with ExpressRoute. Furthermore, if you have individuals that need to have access to this as well, for example, if you have maybe some contractors, or if you have maybe some partners that are doing some work specific to an application that you are building in Azure, and you want them to have access to the VNet, this specific VNet, you can still have it access to this gateway subnet using point-to-site VPN. So a lot of great scenarios that this does enable. It is available for both models, ASM and ARM. So just to review what some of those use cases are, those VNets can help connect to remote branch offices. Then also VPN can also provide a backup to ExpressRoute. So if you end up having some sort of maintenance window for your carrier, or if there's something that happens on that private connectivity, if routers need to be changed or whatnot, a VPN can be a backup for ExpressRoute. This also can be used to connect VNets in other regions that are not connected to ExpressRoute, as well as what I mentioned earlier is allowing individuals not on the WAN to just VPN straight into the point-of-site network. So one thing that is extremely important, transit routing is still not supported. So say one of the folks site-to-site VPN into that VNet, especially if it's third parties, that are just working on that application in that VNet. Because transit routing is not supported, this is not an attack vector for them to get into your WAN. So all they have access to is just that VNet. So the transit routing not supported is actually a good thing, where they are only limited to access to that VNet. So they would not have the ability to backdoor into your network. So from a networking perspective, the transit routing piece is not enabled. Another thing to watch out for too is that if you do want coexistence, you must create the ExpressRoute gateway first, then add the VPN, the IPsec VPNs later. So if you started with IPsec VPNs and then added ExpressRoute after the fact, which is pretty common because VPNs are often the stepping stone to get into a more production type of connection like ExpressRoute, that gateway for the VPN must be deleted first and then recreated using the ExpressRoute gateway. Another reason why you may have to delete it anyways is that gateway subnet may need to be expanded. When VPN first came out and when ExpressRoute came out, we had a certain number of features that are available, and that gateway subnet is really the home for a lot of these virtual appliances behind the scenes that allow that traffic to flow. The recommendation right now for our VNets gateway sizes or our gateway size subnet sizes /28 for ExpressRoute. But one of the best practices that I tell my customers is go ahead and future-proof yourself and make that larger. Essentially, we've expanded this over time, where at one point it was a /29, and then we ended up going to a /28. Basically, as more and more features come about, there's a lot of other things that are being planned for as well. So that way, this kind of prevents you from having to delete that gateway in the near future. Go ahead and future-proof yourself by making that like a /25 or /26. /27 works as well, but the bigger the better if your address space can handle it. And you can find out more information about that coexistence at that link. Talks about some of the different gateway topologies there. All right, so let's dive deeper on platform as a service. So we've talked about IaaS, now let's talk about PaaS. I'm going to resurrect an old slide that we've been using for like 4 years, and I remember using this one. Infrastructure as a Service came out. It's an oldie but a goodie. Definitely one that we've used time and time again. But just for the folks who are new and may not understand the differences between IaaS and PaaS, if you focus on the two middle columns right there, the main differences is that Microsoft manages more of the stack for you. So essentially, from an IaaS perspective, you choose the OS, right? We're just providing the virtual machines, all the green boxes below. So that's essentially what infrastructure as a service. It is more flexible because you can add a lot of different third-party solutions into this mix. But platform as a service is basically managed by Microsoft. So we'll take care of the OS, all the middleware, all the stuff that Microsoft manages and cares for will be abstracted for you. But one of the big differences between that is infrastructure as a service is basically you bring your own IP. With platform as a service, because this is managed by Microsoft, it's a Microsoft IP address space, and that's one of the things that to be careful of as far as design considerations. And I'll talk about that in greater detail here in a little bit. From a PaaS perspective, this is one of the slides that we use. Essentially, we've got a ton of them. We can't keep up sometimes. It seems like we're launching new PaaS services, which means that there's going to be new ranges of IPs and whatnot. There's always going to be something new announced every week, it seems like. But they're basically the services that are managed by Microsoft and infrastructure as services are basically the building blocks for many of those platform services. So a big difference between that. All right, so some of the consideration points when you're dealing with PaaS services. As I mentioned, public IPs is one of the biggest things to plan for. Because it's a public IP address space, these services were built to connect to the internet, right? So even though customers want it privately, the fact that they still have a public IP means that it's still accessible via the internet. So essentially, you have two paths to get from point A to B. And that, from a network perspective, has some a lot of design, consequences and things just you just have to plan for. Because they're still accessible via the internet, there are other protections in place, like authorization and basically authorizing access by users rather than by network protocols. But something you still want to plan for. There may be services that you don't want. We do have the list of IP addresses by regions, so you can download those lists at that link right there. Essentially, you'll get the list of the different IP spaces for all of the Microsoft Azure services by region. So you'll notice it's an XML document, and it'll let you know what those regions are. Everything from Europe West to East US 2 to West US. So basically, all the different ranges that are associated with those platform services are there. So those lists can change weekly, and that's due to the fact that this is a growing platform. Microsoft is getting additional IP addresses out there because we are producing so many new innovative products so fast. So they do need a public IP associated with that. So the one things that you want to take a look at is just look at the different ranges. Unfortunately, we do not tie them to a very specific service. So you'll just see, a slash 24 here, slash 19 there. Because it is the cloud, these IPs can change. So different services can use different ranges depending on the need at the time. The good news is that we do have BGP communities out now. So if you are wanting to filter, you can take a look at those BGP community values at that link. And I have a slide here in a little bit to dive a little bit deeper there. Another thing too is make sure that platform services is supported on ExpressRoute. Not all PaaS services are. So the vast majority, especially the ones that have been out for a while, are most likely already there. But it's something that you want to validate. That way, at least you understand the path that it's going to take from point A to B, whether it's traversing ExpressRoute or if it's still going through the internet. If it's going through the internet, then you have some other design considerations to think about, such as stateful packet inspection and if it's going through your DMZ environment and whatnot. So things to just to watch out for. Just make sure that your service that you're looking at is supported. All right, so how does PaaS services work with the premium and the standard circuits? So for those who are new to ExpressRoute, since I mentioned, since Microsoft has a large dark fiber network, there's a bunch of different benefits that you get out of the box. With a standard circuit, we give you access to what we call the geopolitical regions. For example, North America would be a geopolitical region, EMEA would be one, Asia Pac, Japan, Australia, they're its own. Essentially, when you create a ExpressRoute circuit in that region, you by default have access to those public Azure data center regions in that area. So in the US, you have access to the different ones like US East, US East 2, South Central. So that's the implication there is that when you enable that PaaS peering, and remember the previous slide about all those IP addresses that are for those regions. Essentially, once you enable that circuit, the BGP peer for your PaaS services, all those IP address prefixes will now get advertised. So those may be more than what you're looking to handle, but just be aware it is by geopolitical region. So it is dependent on where you create the circuit. So a lot of design considerations from there, not only just from a latency perspective, but as far as IP addresses that you're going to expect to be advertised on that circuit. Same thing from the premium SKU. One of the biggest benefits is the global backhauling capability. So as soon as you enable the premium add-on to an ExpressRoute circuit, that essentially lights up the advertisements for all the global PaaS services on that public peer. So just something to be aware of. It's great because now if you have folks in the US and need to access a PaaS service privately that may be hosted, say, in Australia or somewhere else, that could be something that you can use a premium circuit for, and vice versa. Since it is an on-ramp, the ability for you to get those global prefixes is only going to be visible to that premium circuit. So one of the rules of thumbs that we tell our global customers is that you may want to plan for a premium circuit in at least each of the major regions that you're looking to onboard onto ExpressRoute. This picture alone shows you that, hey, what if I just spun up a premium circuit in the US? Well, that US circuit, all the folks going through that US on-ramp will have access to the global prefixes. But if, say, someone in Australia doesn't have a premium circuit and it's only a standard circuit, they only have visibility to the Australia PaaS services, not for the global one. So just be aware, those are things that you have to think about as far as who needs access over the internet versus who needs private access via ExpressRoute. All right, so BGP communities. So this is the first time we've talked about it. It's been in our documentation for quite a while. We said it was coming soon, and this is definitely one of the tools in the toolbox that you can use because the environments are so massive, and you may most likely are not using all of them. So instead of having to use all the public IPs and prefixes that are out there, this is a standard BGP trick where you essentially can use these values to filter it. So now that the BGP communities are available, Microsoft is tagging all the different workloads from a SaaS perspective that you see on the top right. Based on the workload, we are tagging those workloads by the BGP value given to it. So you see our ASN number, which is actually 12076, which is that's the ASN number that we're using, the Microsoft ASN. So be aware that it's not 8075. That's a commonly asked question, is that, hey, is it 8075 is the Microsoft ASN to use? It's not. It's actually 12076. So that's the ASN number coupled with the BGP value. That is how Microsoft will be tagging, those IP addresses for those workloads if it's a SaaS service. On the Azure side, it's different, where we're tagging it based on the data center region. So all the different IP prefixes that you saw in that XML document that I mentioned will be tagged based on this value for that region. So this is a way for you to filter these out. So if you don't want to accept a specific community value and you only want to allow one for the ones that you actually use, you can filter out the rest of them. That way it's not noise into your network. But if you this is another way for you to keep it secure. But if you do want to accept everything, just be aware that we do provide these tagging. On the flip side though, if you do tag some values and then try to advertise them to Microsoft, we're not going to know what to do with those, so those are just not going to be honored. So just be aware that we are tagging our workloads and sending it back to you, but if you do tag it some way, it's not going to, we're not going to actually act upon those custom BGP community values. So just be aware of that. So feel free to take a look at that. This is now in preview, so it is rolled out to all the data centers out there. But it is brand new, so just be aware it is enabled now. So take a look at that link as well for further information. All right, so now we transition to our partner spotlight. So joining us today for the second take is David from the Equinix side. So Equinix has been one of our great partners. One of the reasons they've been a global layer two provider, and they work with many of the carriers out there. As well as a lot of the professional services they bring. So we're happy to bring back David from Equinix. So David, feel free to take it away.
Thanks, Ron. Hey, and welcome everybody. Thanks for joining today. It's great to get the chance to talk to you guys again. So just a quick level set here around who Equinix is. For many of you who don't know, some people think we're just a data center provider. While we are the world's largest retail data center space provider in the world with 145 data centers in 40-plus metros around the world, we're actually the world's largest network interconnection provider. It's what the company was founded on in 1998. 170,000 cross-connects with over 1,200 NSPs, network service providers, terminating in our facilities. One of the stats we love to throw around is that over 90% of all internet routes traverse an Equinix data center somewhere in the world. Where that really gives us an advantage with interconnection is the ability to bring lots of networks together and then lots of end customers who can then cross-connect between each other to drive traffic. That was one of the attractive things that brought Microsoft to Equinix when they were rolling out ExpressRoute, is the fact that our global footprint and the density of network service providers allows for lots of end customers to get to ExpressRoute nodes all over the world because of all the network service providers terminating at Equinix. What Equinix did is we designed what's called the Equinix Cloud Exchange. It's one of our many exchanges. And what it is a routing and switching platform that allows customers to connect to our data centers and to the exchange via a Layer 2 port, and we're rolling out Layer 3 soon. And then using both a portal or an API, create virtual circuits to obviously Azure and Office 365 using ExpressRoute and other cloud providers who happen to be there. What this allows then is a single connection into Equinix to then be able to provision multiple circuits to cloud providers such as Azure using ExpressRoute. The trick there is that there's really two routes to get to that with us. One is essentially co-locating equipment in one of our data centers, and we also have a remote port option that allows you to simply cross-connect from your NSP who terminates within one of our data centers to the cloud exchange and then get connectivity to the cloud without having to co-locate equipment within Equinix. The only downside to that is the largest port we offer in a remote port situation is a 1 gig port, versus if you co-locate and do a buyout port on the cloud exchange, you can get a 10 gig port. So currently, ExpressRoute is available through Equinix in 18 locations globally where we have cloud exchange. So as you can see, we do have a massive global footprint. Toronto just went live in April. Frankfurt will be going live for Azure Germany in probably the next 3 months, we hope. So that should be good. And we also, for those of you who aren't aware, Telcity is another ExpressRoute provider in Europe, and Equinix acquired Telcity. The deal closed last January, so that added another 35 data centers in Europe with ExpressRoute connectivity added then in Dublin. So we actually offer the world's largest ExpressRoute footprint also, which enables then customers, especially with multinationals and need connections in multiple places around the world, to work with a single ExpressRoute provider to set that up. Another thing that Equinix offers that's unique, I think, among most providers is the fact that we do have a professional services arm that was actually formerly known as Nimbo in the U.S. And Nimbo has been a trusted Azure SI for a number of years. And now we have incorporated them into our global solution architects and enablement division to then really focus on enabling ExpressRoute connections and hybrid cloud buildouts for customers through Equinix, and they have expertise both in Azure and Office 365 to be able to really to help customers through the complexities of setting up private connectivity to public cloud, of designing hybrid cloud deployments, and also doing a thorough network assessments to make sure that that everything's really mapped out around a customer's cloud strategy and network connection, what we like to call interconnection-oriented architecture. And it's highly important because it's not usually just as simple as provisioning an express route circuit and you're off and running. There's a lot of implications to deal with. To help that, one of the things that, and this is just a quick slide on the Global Solutions Enablement Team, we have two hands to that. One is the Equinix Professional Services, which is really the hey, let's work with customers on engagements and do all that. Global Solution Architects is our team of really smart technical guys that can work directly with customers in a pre-sales environment to really scope out their needs and what can be done. Just wanted to make sure we got that out there. Equinix Pro Services does offer some cloud enablement packages that I think can be fairly attractive. They range from a fairly simple VLAN configuration to all the way up to the Cloud Foundation, which allows for network assessment and full implementation of your network and express route circuit provisioning and cloud workload enablement. We've also added to that an Office 365 enablement, which is, I think, is really key and really important, since Office 365 over ExpressRoute is incredibly complex, and you really need to have a partner, an SI partner who knows what they're doing involved. EPS happens to be one of three SI partners I know in the U.S. that that is really certified and really blessed to do this work, and so we've added that as a package too. This is just a quick chart that kind of shows the base pricing and then how you can add on packages and what those packages involve. I don't want to go too deep into that. So essentially, and I wanted to make this brief because there's usually lots of questions and things like that, and if there isn't, that's great. I just wanted to get out in front of you. But we really feel at Equinix that our partnership with Microsoft makes us not only where opportunities connect, but where hybrid cloud opportunity connects. We offer the design, deployment, flexibility, and global footprint that enterprises and customers really need when considering their overall cloud strategy, including private network connectivity. We have the technical background to really understand, and the density of network service providers to really make sure that customers can get to our data centers, get the connection made, and to really enable those high-performance cloud situations that require ExpressRoute, which we feel most of them are. Given that, I'm going to wrap up here in record time, I think, because I know that there was lots of cool stuff covered today, and I want to make sure that people get a chance to ask any questions or do anything else. So with that, Ron, I can turn it back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, David. So appreciate that. Yeah, and as far as you know, working with Equinix, the global aspect has been fantastic, and also, you know, their professional services arm, Nimbo, is one of the go-to partners that we have. Especially since I mentioned that many of these implementations is a networking project, and you do want to have someone who's got experience and can give you some hands-on, assistance when you're doing this project through and through. So it's not something that you light up in one day, although we've had a few implementations, I just had so much of the prerequisites done ahead of time. But you know, if you are planning this from the ground up, it is always nice to have a well-known and experienced professional services arm to help you with that. So now that we've got a few extra minutes, what I'm going to do is I will start the Q&A a little early today. I'll go and unmute the audience. So if anyone wants to ask any questions verbally, and also we'll go through any of the unanswered questions that are from the IM window. So you have both options. If you want to go off of mute right now, you can. If you want to just continue asking questions over the IM window, we'll take those as well. So feel free to open it up, and we'll be free to answer any questions. You've got the experts on the line.
Yeah, hey, it's Nikesh Kara from Ariaka. Question for you on premium circuits. Are those premium circuits only usable for Azure services, or if I'm connecting to, if I'm connecting in Equinix, for example, to a node that has other Azure partners. There was some recent announcements between Microsoft and Salesforce.com. Can I use, if I have the appropriate links or the appropriate connectors, can I use private circuits to interconnect between Azure services or other Microsoft cloud services like Office 365 and non-Azure services like Salesforce?
Yeah, it's a great question. So so be aware, one of the things I did miss mentioning on the premium side, the conversation today was more around Azure workloads, but the premium circuit is actually required for Office 365 and for our other SaaS workloads, such as CRM Online. So essentially what ends up happening is that those workloads are global in nature. So they have global endpoints. And by nature of the premium SKU, you get the global prefixes that are advertised on a premium circuit, which is why it's required. So essentially, when the premium is enabled, you'll get those global prefixes, but those are for Microsoft prefixes, though. So you'll get the ones for Office 365, you get CRM Online, Skype for Business. We have a list of the supported IP addresses and URLs. It's actually in one of the Office 365 links in that white paper that I sent in today's presentation. But Salesforce and other third parties, those are going to be public services with their own public IPs that are not going to be part of those advertised prefixes. So you'll get the endpoints for the Microsoft SaaS workloads, but you will not get the prefixes for third-party workloads, at least not today.
Got it. So if I am using Office 365 in conjunction with a non-Microsoft service that's a public service for, I said Salesforce, but it could be Box or something else, then I'm basically going for those. I'm going off-net from the premium circuit.
Correct.
And I guess I'm kind of on my own on those, but if it's an Azure or Microsoft service, then I can use the premium service.
That's right.
Was that a correct summary?
That's right. So, say connectivity from Office 365 to Salesforce, Dropbox, whatever, will still traverse the public internet. And the sheer fact is that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, ExpressRoute is that onboard to the Microsoft Dark Fiber network. Those are the third parties that are going to be properties that are not on the Microsoft network. So that's why they will still be on the public internet. They're going to use public IPs that are not Microsoft. So you will need to secure those workloads a different way. Great question. All right, let's see. Guys, did I miss anything from the IM window? Is there anything? All right. Can the same ER circuit be used for Office 365 and Azure? If I have a 1 gig service, can they share the full 1 gig or do I need to allocate specific bandwidth? So Randall, great question. So ExpressRoute can allow you to access both Azure and Office 365 with the same circuit. Those are the three BGP peer connections that was in one of the earlier slides. So essentially, you can pick and add. So you can enable all three peers if you want to, and they could leverage the circuit. So today, there's not a way for you to pick and choose the size of the bandwidth by workload. We're just giving you the size of the pipe, and then whatever the workloads are going to require. You may need to increase the pipe, or if you use too much, then you can deprovision it and reprovision it. But if you do want to specify specific bandwidths per workload, that's a situation where you want to consider having a separate or dedicated ExpressRoute circuit for something in particular. And we have that many times with a lot of our customers where, say, hey, a business group wants to use a big data solutions, for example. So I've had a number of customers stand up their own 10 gig pipes just for a single workload, right? So they'll only choose to advertise only specific IPs from on-premises to Microsoft just for that workload. But then they'll have another pipe, maybe like a 1 gig link for just everything else. So that's a common design thing. Obviously, that's going to require a little bit more network planning to figure out who's going to use what and how to segment it appropriately. But choosing multiple circuits is another way for different groups to basically choose who's going to pay for the circuit. Obviously, it's going to cost extra to have multiple circuits, but it is a way for you to segment bandwidth by workload. So David, I think there was a couple of questions regarding Dublin and Equinix. Oh, it looks like you just answered. So the answer is yes. So for those folks who are asking about...
We still haven't. Telecity is still operating the Dublin Meet Me point, but it'll end up being on Equinix paper, so.
Gotcha. Okay. Great. All right. Any other questions, fellas, that I may have missed?
Yeah, Ryan, you got one just before Chris's, or just before Randall's, rather. If customers connecting ER Premium in North America connected through site-to-site VPN in Asia, will users from Asia be using Backbone when they access resources in North America? That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm trying to find where that is in here. So, if I understand it correctly, the premium circuit was defined in the U.S., but
in the U.S.
Okay, so
site-to-site VPN in Asia.
The site-to-site VPN. So, for your folks in Asia, will only have access to the IaaS workloads with the site-to-site. That's an encrypted tunnel over the internet. If you want to ride the Microsoft backbone from Asia all the way back to the U.S., you will need an Asia premium circuit. So wherever you're based out of, say if you're in Singapore and you create a premium circuit with a Singapore on-ramp, that's how you can access the U.S. resources and not have to traverse the internet. It's a great question. All right.
Next one, Steve asked, does ExpressRoute 200 megabits level allow each CE router to share the ER bandwidth? Oh, that's a great point as to our dual ports, Ryan.
All right. You want to take that, Kevin?
Sure. So Steve, we actually, with the Microsoft ExpressRoute, our wording is a bit tough to understand sometimes. So with the ExpressRoute circuit, you actually are getting two logical ports. So you're getting, with the 200 meg, as you indicated there, you're actually getting dual 200 meg. So if your carrier, your ExpressRoute partner allows it and sets it up as active-active, Microsoft allows bursting. So both of those ports are ready and available for you. So you basically have two 200 available. Bursting is not guaranteed, but it is possible, depending on your configuration with your carrier.
Okay, great question.
Cool.
All right, I'm going to answer my own question. So one of the things I want to clarify to you on the BGP community is even though that we are advertising those now by region and by workload, just be aware that you still want to ask your connectivity partner that they support it as well. So I mentioned that, you know, we won't support, BGP communities that are going into our network because we won't know what to do with it. We also, on the flip side, even though Microsoft is advertising those BGP communities from Microsoft, you want to double check that the carrier is honoring those as well, that they're passing it through. There may be instances that they're not honoring it and that they may be dropping it. So that may be a scenario where you won't be able to filter it. So that's one of the things that you want to ask your connectivity partners, that they're honoring it through and through, all the way from the Microsoft side all the way back to your WAN. All right. Let's see. Any other questions?
Question on pricing.
Okay. Go ahead, Nikesh. What's your question? Did we lose you? All right. So if your audio isn't working, feel free to
question. Put it up.
Okay. We can hear you now. Go ahead. So we can't hear you. So.
Which is on the thank you. The unlimited pricing option for the premium.
Yes.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Ahead. We can hear you now. Okay, we lost.
Better. Sorry about it.
Sorry, okay. Your audio is cutting out. Maybe it'll be better if you just post your question in the IM window. So there was a question maybe around the premium SKU. So I'm going to take a guess as far as what your question is, but the premium SKU is an add-on. So there's going to be the base pricing, and if you enable the premium add-on, then it's an add-on price based on the size of the pipe and whether it's a metered or unlimited. Let's go back to that slide. I know, let me go back to that slide real quick on the pricing. Oops. So this first slide right here is for the standard circuit, right? So you see the metered prices on the left. That's, you're basically paying the metered circuit as well as the egress that's coming out of it, or the unlimited, which is pretty much the flat rate, right? So you're not going to be surprised that it's going to be pretty much static through and through, where the other one is just going to be highly dependent on your usage. On the premium side, it's the same thing. So it's basically
one price gets me all zones.
Sorry, I got the tail end of that. So the premium would be all-encompassing. It would include the egress. So it doesn't matter if you egress 2 terabytes or 2 petabytes, right? So the premium with the unlimited would allow you to have a flat bill and not have to pay extra for the egress. So this is a great scenario if you are planning to do a lot of data transfer back through your premises. There's only certain scenarios that may warrant that. So the good thing is that you can upgrade from metered to unlimited if you want to. So you can start off with a metered plan and see what type of usage that you get, and then switch to a more expensive unlimited plan. Just be aware that the flip side is not true. So once you get an unlimited circuit, you can't downgrade to metered. Essentially, it's just, you know, we don't want customers to game the system by having unlimited for 2 hours and switch back to metered. It's just it's going to be a headache trying to keep up with what actually gets transferred in that window. But anyways, just be aware you can go from metered to unlimited, but just not vice versa.
And do I need it per zone then if I want unlimited? If I'm traversing zones, I need one plan per zone?
Yeah, that's a great question. So best practice is, going back to one of those pictures, is that you can pick and choose which circuits have premium. The flip side is that only that particular on-ramp, say you only enabled premium for the U.S., only the folks from the U.S. that are getting only that on-ramp can see the global prefixes. So that's where the best practice of having at least one premium circuit per region would allow you to have your users to get visibility to all those prefixes from a private manner. Because if they don't get those prefixes on the circuit, then they're going to traverse the internet.
Got it. Okay, so if I'm highly distributed and moving lots of data, it may start making sense for me to have a premium circuit per zone or per region. So I don't have to think about it anymore.
That's right. And the good thing is that because, this is a global dark fiber network that Microsoft has, moving, say, from Azure to Azure, from continent one to continent two, as long as you have that as part of your premium, you have the premium circuit enabled, it will actually traverse the Microsoft backbone instead of going over the internet. And as I mentioned earlier, the egress meters are only when it leaves the Microsoft circuit. So you can transfer, large amounts of data privately and not get any egress costs associated with that. So it's one of those scenarios where it's a benefit. This is obviously unique to Microsoft, and our competitors don't do these kind of things. So just one of the optional things that you can do if you are looking to transfer data across the pond, so to speak, and keep it on the Microsoft backbone.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Great question. All right. So thanks to everybody who has been answering in line. So once again, this meeting is recorded. So if you did see a question in the IM window and were wondering what the answer was, hopefully we've answered it verbally or at least on text in the IM window. So let me know if there's any other outstanding questions. Is BT a partner? Yes, they are. Looks like that's been answered. I believe we have answered all the questions. Guys, am I dreaming, or is everything taken care of? Or Steve, did you get your question answered? Steve DiStefano, looks like.
Is that on the PAS question? I think I answered it.
What was the PAS question?
It was basically, do we recommend people throw that through a DMZ or an extranet?
Ah, you know what? I actually had a couple of slides that got lost in the mix for some reason. So let me see if I can share my desktop. So that is a fantastic question, and I want to make sure that we answer that appropriately. So,
well, I gave him an answer, but we'll see if your answer will jive with mine.
I hope so. When you know, usually these are correct. So let me open this one up, and I apologize that apparently a couple of slides were missing, but I will include it after the fact. So I will now start sharing my desktop. Give you 1 second, everybody. All right. Okay, so hopefully everybody can start seeing that here in a couple of seconds. But essentially, I will add this slide, essentially some of the best practices for platform as a service. So because of the public IP, you know, thing that I mentioned earlier, so the best practice is to treat it like traffic like the internet. So from an on-premises perspective, when you on-ramp your traffic and you choose, you know, that VLAN for public peering, you want that traffic to be routed through your extranet, your DMZ, whatever you want to call it. But it's essentially, if you have that environment on-premises that hosts your security appliances and hardware, where it's, you know, IPSs, IDSs, and whatnot, DLP devices, you're probably doing that for internet-based traffic today. Because the software as a service and platform as a service both utilize public IPs, right? You still want to treat them like internet traffic. So the best practice is to go ahead and include that as far as when you route it back through your premises to go through that environment. A little bit different on the private peering because it is your IP address space. So essentially, you can treat it like another VLAN that's on your core network. So you can keep that privately and not have to go through your extranet. You can if you want to. Obviously, that's a little bit you'll have to deal with the complexities of going through your appliances. But for public peering, it is still recommended that you go through your extranet environment and so forth. So that way, in case that you've got employees that you want to be able to scan for data leakage and stuff like that, and you don't want them to upload critical data to blob storage, you can still scan that, for example, before it actually goes into the Microsoft network. So just be aware that is one of the best practices. And I apologize, I don't know what happened to the slide. It wasn't there earlier, so I will add this back. And so that when you do pull this slide deck from the link that we had advertised earlier, you will get a copy of that. There was also another slide around NATing as well, which got dropped for whatever reason, so I apologize for that. All right, so I am going to put back the main presentation here.
Yeah, Ron, Matthew had a good question about premium gateways for connecting to VNets.
Okay.
I think that answered.
Let's see. Is that at the very bottom? I'm scrolling down.
No, it's about 10 up.
Okay, so... Matthew Blessing, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, let me read it real quick. So customer has two VNets, one in each subscription, sharing a 1 gig metered ER. Is there any benefit to upgrade the virtual gateways to high performance 2 gig? Do the VNets connect to each other using the 2 gig or the standard gig? Great question. So when it's internal to Microsoft, so VNet to VNet traffic, for example, you can choose the high performance gateway. Out of the box is just the standard gateways. The high-performance gateways do give you a 2-gig limit, so you can communicate VNet to VNet up to 2-gig. The ExpressRoute gateway, or the ExpressRoute bandwidth that you see, So for example, if you have a 100 meg pipe just to start off with, that's only the throttle, so to speak, just for the on-ramp. But once you're on the tollway, so to speak, going from point A and on the tollway to point B on the tollway will be not capped at that 100 meg. So the 2 gig VNet gateway limit is what you'll run into at that point if you're actually pushing that much traffic. So VNet to VNet will be up to 2 gig. And you know, we have future plans as well around some of the different capabilities and limits with VNet gateways. So if you join us after the hiatus, we may have some updates for you there. So a little tease. But as far as the bandwidth for ExpressRoute, that's just the throttle for the on-ramp. For once you're from cloud to cloud, that that bandwidth cap does not apply anymore. So great question. All right, I know we're a few minutes over, so thanks everyone for joining us for ExpressRoute Fridays. Once again, the content will be available at aka.ms/ExpressRouteFridays. So thank you for your time. I know this has been an investment. Hopefully it was valuable for you. On behalf of the Black Belts and all of Microsoft, thank you so much for your business, and have a great Friday. Take care, everyone.